You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And as we like to say, observe, it's Friday morning in Vancouver.
And for once, it's not raining.
It's kind of just dull out there. Earlier today, it was bright sunshine, but now it's all hazed over, so who knows what's going to happen next.
The big news of the day, the U.S. Supreme Court has struck down most of the tariffs imposed by President Donald Trump. They did not address the issue of refunding those tariffs.
Yeah, I don't know the details on that, but it was a 6-3, so there were three in the Supreme Court that were for it. And the tariffs thing, I admire what he's working on there, because a long time ago, government's funding came from taxing items that were imported into the country. Let's call them tariffs. And then came in the excitement of World War One. About 1918 or 1914, in there, the governments in Europe and Germany, particularly, found that they could fund things through income taxes. And then, at the time, there were many serious writers who pointed out that this was an evil. It was immoral to tax somebody's money before they even got it. So, anyways, as part of the tariffs. Now, here's his plan, as I understand it. He's going to reduce the size of the federal government. That's a good thing. Then he's going to try and fund operations through tariffs and, get this, get rid of the income tax, the IRS. And if the U.S. gets rid of the income tax, Canada would have no choice but to follow. So I take it as overall tariff plan is very constructive. And in getting rid of the IRS, that would be wonderful. So we'll see how it goes, and I'm supportive of it. I don't know the detailed thinking on the Supreme Court. I think because I'm sure that in Trump's office and advisors, he's got in-depth opinion on and precedent on these things going back. So we'll see how this one goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to income tax, in 1917, the Canadian government imposed income tax on the top 5% of earners as a temporary measure to fund the First World War. Well, now it applies to everybody, even people on welfare.
Yeah. And then they depreciate the currency so that they end up taking more and more money, because low-wage earners are still low-wage earners, but it's a whole lot more money than they made 50 years ago. So it's an evil conspiracy, government taxation and currency depreciation.
And here in British Columbia, the provincial government is up taxes, charging provincial sales tax on items like yarn to repair clothing.
Good God. Well, then that was also the Prime Minister Carney ploy of some few months ago, when he was trying to figure out how to tax the internet things, I don't know what it was really, but he was trying to find a way to tax international internet things, and that was quickly shut down. So, and of course, Carney, he's just a green control freak, absolute Marxist through and through, and he may seem mild, but underneath it, he is a resolute and. For him, He wants to control the temperature of the planet. And but really what it's about is controlling people. That's what it's about. And then it's also an excuse to raise taxes for the good guys in government.
Of course, in the British Columbia provincial budget just released, they're declaring war on seniors as well by changing the deferred property tax interest rate. And now it used to be prime minus 2 points. Now it's prime plus 2 points.
Yeah.
And they canceled there's already 2,000 seniors who can't find housing. And they've canceled 7 projects for seniors housing, which will leave 20,000 without future housing.
That
doesn't seem to be a good time to be old in British Columbia.
No. Well, I'm old and I'm in British Columbia, so.
Well, Bob, you and I learned never count on the government to help you.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the lines that President Ronald Reagan said, that some of the most dangerous phrase in history has been, "I'm from the government, I'm here to help you."
Yes, and we'll charge you 3 times as much as somebody else would have.
Yeah.
Now, as we like to do, we'll do some questions from listeners. This one comes from Michael. Market Watch headline, Bob. U.S. stocks are falling behind. It could be the beginning of an epic shift towards global markets. Bob, credit spreads are widening. The major indices are indicating a topping pattern, and high-risk assets like Bitcoin are breaking down. Nevertheless, emerging markets are outperforming and are hailed as the new trade. Other market pundits have declared the great rotation from the major indices into small-cap U.S. stocks, even though many of them have had to borrow to plug their operating losses. Bob, I'm confused. Historically, at market tops, I thought that emerging markets, followed by European equities and U.S. small caps, begin to crash first, then the major U.S. indices last, with the Dow the final domino to fall. But now it seems everything is turned upside down and the dominoes have been rearranged. Bob, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a great financial bubble, and the greatest in history. But this is the sixth one. 1929 was number 5, and the first one was the South Sea Bubble in 1720. And they all have remarkably similar characteristics. But this business about, Jim, it's been an everything bubble. Everything has bubbled. And then, he mentioned Bitcoin already heading down, and then a couple of the Magnificent Seven stocks like Alphabet, they have turned nasty. So within the hot items. So I thought it'd be all very clear with virtually, if it's an everything bubble, you think everything would peak at the same time, but not so. So the point here is that it has been an absolutely incredible financial bubble. Speculation to the limit. And then also in the last while, the public has come in. The general public has come in and they buy at tops. They do not buy at bottoms because at bottoms everything are very discouraging. So we've got pretty good momentum stuff on the upside, so it's a safe one to say, yeah, it is a great bubble. And in which case, you know that history points out, they climax, they turn around for a little while, and then they fail. So whether this is the climax, you don't know until we get further along. And also, it's worth noting that all of the great financial bubbles had their liquidity problems beginning in late September, where all of a sudden markets were out of bids, Everybody had bought on the way up, and then there was nobody left to buy on the way down, and then you had your major liquidity hits. Now, also, people have gone on about all the high-tech stuff, AI and everything else. Well, that's what I'm writing up now, is that each of these great bubbles celebrated newness. And in 1929, new was radio. The big stock was Radio Corp of America, RCA. Got up to something like $125. And then in a couple of years, it was all the way down to $1.25. So, and then 1873 was Western Union Telegraph. And hey, did they have an inside? Yeah, they developed the ticker tape for offices in Wall Street and elsewhere. So that was a very exciting concept stock. And we don't have a complete chart on that one, but I do have a note that in that September, October, Western Union gave up 40% in 1 week. And that's way when a high-tech darling stock begins to fail, woo. They can fail very hard. So, so this is the overall view what we're in. Perhaps the market has climaxed. It's had a whack. Some of the high participating items have failed. So we'll just see how the rest of it goes.
Another question from Michael. It seems that everyone is short the U.S. dollar, even though the markets are heavily leveraged in U.S. dollars. It seems that few are prepared for margin calls. Bob, will a sudden and lasting spike in the U.S. dollar indicate that the party is over for the everything bubble?
Oh, for sure. You got that one right, Michael. In history on each of these great bubbles, the senior currency tends to weaken a little as the bubble completes. And then once the bubble is over, then the senior currency becomes very firm. And what it is, of course, let's take New York now, and the dollar is the senior currency. And the great debt bubble, they talk stocks all the time, but there's also the bubble includes a great issuance of debt. And the problem is that a majority, probably a very large majority of that debt is due and payable in New York. So what have you got out there? Once the mania is over, then people get focused on trying to retire debt. So they have to get a dollar, sell something, and to get a dollar to meet the obligations of dollars into New York. So you can say that all of the debt issued in the mania, it's a short position, a dollar. So then the history has been is that after a bubble, the senior currency becomes, I use the term, chronically firm. And even going back to Sir Thomas Gresham in the 1550s, he was, first of all, an outstanding trader, made lots of money, and then he ended up being an advisor to Elizabeth I. And the money market was then in Antwerp, and the senior currency was the guilder. And then it was his letters from the financial center at Antwerp explaining to the crown that you don't want to be trying to service debt from a weak currency into a strong senior currency. And then eventually some economics writer around 1905 then came up with the phrase of Gresham's Law. But when in 1550s when Gresham was sending his advice, he wasn't thinking of any law. He was saying this is the way it works. So this is and it becomes a grinding, a horrible thing where the senior currency is unrelentingly strong. So this is in conditions of weak commercial and business and industry and mining and all that sort of stuff. But with the real price of gold going up, it's Mother Nature's way of getting real reserves into the system with gold. And so when all of the imaginary paper stuff is shrinking, Mother Nature's out there getting liquidity into the system by raising the real price of gold, and that increases production. And it's what's wonderful to look back on how it works over a few hundred years.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. One of the headlines from Yahoo Finance: Allied Properties units tumble more than 27% after company announces $500 million equity offering. Does that mean commercial properties aren't worth much now?
Allied Properties. And I think that was 27% in one day. So, it's game over for those guys.
From Zero Hedge: AI becomes kiss of death in the U.S. as China's DeepSeek 2.0 moment arrives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a colorful headline. And the AI thing is probably maximized and over as a stock market phenomenon.
Well, my question about AI, Bob, is A, the data centers for it are going to suck a huge amount of power out of the power grid. B, it's going to replace, AI is going to replace thousands and thousands of white-collar jobs. Are we going to see unemployed accountants charge these data centers and try to set them on fire so they get jobs again?
Wouldn't imagine. Yeah, anything's possible. I think I read something somewhere that they consider building space for AI operations in a cold climate so that they have, they're paying less for air conditioning. So anyways, it's interesting, but it's a high-tech item as a bubble is concluding. So as I said, the last high-tech item was Radio Corp of America, and then before that, Western Telegraph. So, yep.
Headline from Zero Hedge: China's unprecedented oil stockpiling sparks questions if Beijing is preparing for war.
Yeah, you don't know, but it's bureaucrats going crazy and accumulating a huge position of oil, which has been supportive of the price, but crude oil's price in the last few months has been rather dull. So there's no big action going on in crude's price. And the real reason why they're buying it, I don't know. But I think it's probably unwise, poor timing, whatever you want to call it.
Well, with oil prices low right now, wouldn't it make sense to buy as much as you can before the prices go up?
Oh, yeah. If they've got a reserve, a way of storing it, and don't mind parking their money in that kind of an operation, who knows?
I mean, we have Joseph Schachter, the publisher of the Schachter Energy Report. He said oil isn't going to stay at this low level for long, because they're not drilling for new oil. They want a scarcity, so the prices go up. He says as much as $200 a barrel from 50 or 60.
No, I can't go along with that one. We're in the post-bubble world, and then what happens is whether it's metals or tin or whatever, they've got to increased production in order to get U.S. dollars in order to meet their obligation in New York. So I don't see any great big moves to the upside in commodities. And then when the bubble is really over, then you have a long period of weak commodities. You know, the business cycle is still there, 3 or 4 years, but the recoveries are pretty weak and the recessions are quite noticeable. So, and actually, they're pretty regular, Jim. Typically, the post-bubble Great Depression lasts for about 20 years. So you had the Great Bubble of 1873 and the, in 1880, economists in England, which was then the senior economy, began noticing the prolonged weakness, and 1880 they began calling it, get this, the Great Depression. And then, of course, it bottomed out in 1895, and then you started a long expansion, and then right up to the party of 1929. So it works rather well.
Mm-hmm. Another headline for you from Zero Hedge. No substitute uranium at the center of the AI power shock.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to require uranium. And the uranium stocks are those that mine uranium. But with these... These new nuclear-powered electrical substations, they are a modular now, and they'd be quite small. You can build them somewhat close to the user. And then also, these new modular operations, guess what? They can use old, spent uranium fuel. So... The street is thinking that all of that, there is going to be an increased demand for uranium, right. But it's not going to be all found in the ground. They've got a whole lot of it just laying around and old in reactors and wherever. So there's a lot of uranium out there. So the play on uranium mines and discoveries could be limited.
And our final headline here from Zero Hedge, Winter Storm Fern proved coal is still the power grid's most reliable backbone.
Yeah, I like that one. Coal is very important in North American power stations, particularly in the States. And these things are very clean burning now, particulate and fumes and noxious chemicals and stuff. It's all very well controlled now. They get a good burn out of it, and it's not based upon solar or wind power. And then this is our Prime Minister Carney, who is a green control freak, and he's talking about building all kinds of solar cells and wind turbines in the Prairie Provinces and sending all that electricity to the States. Well, the further south you get, the better solar works. and you got wind everywhere. So it's an absolutely absurd idea.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Jim, I look forward to our get-together again next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time.
Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.